I'm in a big hurry. It's the news according to me. Well, yeah, I'm in a big hurry this morning. I'm in a big hurry. Got a lot to do. Got a lot to say. I don't have that much to say, I guess. It doesn't matter whether I have not a lot to say or not. I still talk a lot. I can talk forever and not say anything. It's a special talent. I know everyone wishes they had it. I don't understand it. It's just a thing that comes down from on high, and I just spew it out there. So not the words, not what I'm saying, just that I can say anything. So it's not. Anyway, see what I mean? See what I mean? I've talked for a minute. My timer has just gone for a minute, and I've not said a thing that's worth listening to. Don't you wish you could get that minute of your life back? But you can't. So sorry. Sue me. It's late. It's already 8:15 a.m. and I've got places to go, things to do. I've got a big a day ahead. A big a day. That's what it is. It's a big day ahead of me. I've already had my morning nap. I got up early this morning, thinking I was going to get out the door early, and then I was just so tired. I got all the chores done with all the animals, and then I laid down a little bit, and next thing I know, it's 8 o'clock. But I do have my chai with me. It's already half drank. I drank half of it this morning after breakfast, and I'm just going to have to get moving here. I've got, it's going to be another short show, and I haven't a clue. I just basically woke up from my morning nap, and I just ran down here and turned this thing on. I'm at my home studio this morning. It's 8:15 a.m., Wednesday, October 19th, 2022, for those of you who are keeping track. That way you're not confused. I have, yesterday I talked about Nancy Pelosi and this whole thing with the news crew following her around, her daughter, with a bunch of cameras. With one, probably just one camera. And how she staged all these phone calls. It's like, I'm going to call the vice president, and I'm going to have a camera in my face while I do it. And I'm going to be really nice on the phone, act like I really care about the president. Like she really cares about Mike Pence. Mike Pence is the guy who, earlier in the year, Pete Buttigieg was asked, well, what if we get rid of Trump? Are you happier? Would you be happier having Mike Pence? Oh, no, no. Oh, no, it's even worse. I played those comments here on the show. We talk about how polarizing Trump is. Oh, we just need somebody else besides Trump because Trump is more. Oh, Trump is just too polarizing. He's too divisive. They're already saying DeSantis is worse than Trump. Buttigieg already said Mike Pence is worse than Trump. Whoever steps into the position of being against them is going to be worse than Hitler, and of course now they have a new Hitler, worse than Trump. And they're going to blame them. They're going to accuse them of being a Trumponian, Trumpianite, Trumpite, trumpet, whatever they want to call it. They're pro Trump. They're pro Trump. Trump-est politics, policies. All this, it's just ridiculous statements like this, and it's. The thing about it is, what's amazing to me is they get away with it. After everything that's been said and done and all the stuff that goes on, and you notice how this administration now is taking credit for bringing prices down. Now this morning, I just heard that we're releasing another 15 million barrels of strategic oil reserves. We don't have many left. This would be a great time to go to war with somebody, wouldn't it? which, oh, by the way, is also at a high threat level right now between China and Russia. And let's not talk about Iran. Just because they're not invading anybody right now or threatening to invade anybody right now. I don't think that the American people are the people in the United States are being I don't think that they're buying into this whole thing with the Biden, you know, with what they're saying from the White House right now. And I hope not, because it's just, it's all just such a sham what they're doing. And now as I say all this, you know, I want to see the Democrats defeated, especially these radical leftists. We'll deal with the Republicans, you know, later, because they've got their issues too. And I don't want to see, I hate to see them win by default. I've said this before, just by the nature of, they've ruined, you know, the Democrats have overstepped things and gone so wacky, crazy leftist, nutcase jobs. The people, the powers that be, they want free speech as long as it's their speech. As long as you're talking about their stuff. Tucker Carlson last night did a really, I don't think he realized how powerful of a segment he did. Now I have some issues with Tucker, and maybe it's just his delivery. I don't know. Sometimes when he laughs, it's just a phony laugh, and I can't. There's something about it I don't like. He'll say something, and then it's a forced kind of theatrical laugh, and I don't like that. It's ranks right up there with me. It ranks right up there with Kevin McCarthy and the way he talks down to us every time he makes a speech about how they're going to do things. And again, the whole thing with the Republican Party is that the Democrats are just losing because they're Democrats and because their policies are failing. So the only choice we have now is bring the Republicans in, maybe stave things off, which of course will make Biden look better. He's going to take credit for anything good that happens in the next 2 years after the. I believe the Republicans are going to take back the House. I think so. And I think that they might even take the Senate. There are some things happening right now in the races that exist. Fetterman is, his campaign is imploding. I believe the other one that probably will be pivotal, I can't remember the name right now, is also falling apart. I know that there's a lot of gubernatorial races. Carrie Lake is surging. She's trouncing all over this, her opponent from Arizona. We'll see what happens here. But, you know, there's always that, the veto power of the president, they can't overcome that without two-thirds of the House, without two-thirds of the Senate. So we'll see what happens with, we'll just see what happens. At least things will be slowed down. The problem with that is that will make Joe look better. I'm surprised, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm surprised that the Democrats really, really overstepped their boundaries. I think they thought they were going to get a lot more done in this first 2 years than they did. And I think that they miscalculated how horribly their policies would affect a nation coming out of a pandemic. They really, you know, they saw the economy starting to light up again, and things were starting to run very well. And I think that they thought that they could just gut it and just reverse everything that Trump did, and it wouldn't affect that much because the economy would keep going, and it didn't. It affected things very quickly, and I believe they miscalculated on this, because now we have a bumbling president. And I hear people on the left talking about this, very derogatory, making very, very derogatory statements towards Biden. I have to sneeze, and I'm not sure if I'm just kind of sitting here trying to wait for the sneeze to come. It's not happening. Sorry. I apologize for the sneeze delay. And stand by for a message from our sponsor. There you go. And we're back. We have, So Biden is this whole thing with the oil prices. They're doing everything they can to get the economy looking better, prices down, this recession thing, trying to do what. Do you think they'd be doing this if there wasn't an election? If they weren't desperate to hold on to power here? What do you think they're going to do if they win? Now, Biden keeps saying, well, if the Republicans win, this recession is going to get really, it's going to get worse. Okay. What I remember early on, a couple months ago, CNN had a poll, and I think I took a screenshot of it. I don't know if I still have it here or not. I took a screenshot of it because I wanted to remember how ridiculous these people are. It said 60% of Americans, their concern, I've taken a lot of pictures apparently in the last couple months. So there's a, where did it go here? Yeah, I don't see it. It's not, oh, that's it? No, that's not it. I don't see it. It was a poll, and one of the things that they had in this poll was that 60% of Americans felt that, how was the question that they posted with the poll? Of course, this is all you have to say. You can't ever trust what they do with this either, because what they'll do is they'll do a poll and they'll ask questions, and the way they ask the question and then the way they posted the results is different than what actually was asked. It's a big trick that they do a lot of times with this kind of stuff. What they did, they asked this question, and what they said was, what's your biggest concern right now? And then they had a list of things. Now, they claim that 60% of Americans, or 60% of the issue that was out there for them, the biggest issue was threats to our democracy. 60%. Only 30% thought it was, or it was only 30% of the problem was the recession and prices, the inflation and prices. And only 10% of the issue was the recession, unemployment, that kind of thing. So 60% of those polled thought that the biggest issue facing the nation was threats to our democracy. That poll, you don't see that poll around anymore. They're not talking about J6 and the commission and the committee. They have tried and tried and tried for the last year and a half to be relevant, to have any kind of traction with the American people. They put it on prime time. They've had all kinds of sensationalized headlines and witnesses that have come forth and said, well, they said something to the effect of, about 27 times. It's all something that someone else saw. That was their big bombshell. And they squeezed a lot of mileage out of that one for a couple of weeks till the next one came out and said, well, I heard somebody else say this. Some of the headlines are absolutely unbelievable. Just amazing to me. I don't know, what is this, GOP lawmaker says, so now the Republicans are talking about impeaching Joe Biden now. Now, don't get me wrong, there's more than enough to impeach Joe Biden on. The Republicans like to talk big when they're not in power. They like to lead from behind. And what I mean by that is they like to sit there. How many times did they propose a vote in the House during the Obama administration to repeal Obamacare? It was like 67 times or something. They brought something to a vote to the House floor. When the Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency in 2016, how many times did they bring that to the floor? Zero. And it was one of the biggest reasons that they won. People were mostly complaining in 2015, 2014, 2013. They were complaining about the price of health care insurance. Obamacare destroyed, and it was never meant to work. The Affordable Health Care Act, which, you know, that's what it was called, which it's always the opposite of what they say it is, drove up the price of health insurance. People couldn't afford to get health insurance anymore. All of a sudden, it was like Affordable Health Care Act destroyed the health care insurance industry, that's what it was meant to do. Obama said it himself. He said it was never meant to be the end. It was meant to be a road to single payer. In other words, government-controlled health insurance. These people are not happy unless they are in charge of everything and have their finger on the controls of every single sector of our economy. They want to control you. They want to control everything. Tucker Carlson last night was talking about the First Amendment and how they would rather have you have a 50 caliber machine gun than to be able to freely speak. This is what's happening right now with the whole Elon Musk thing going on. He was the great hero who came up with the electric car, electric vehicle, where everybody wants to buy. All the leftists had a Tesla. I tell you, I have some friends on the left coast who, they would let you know that they had a Tesla or that they had a Leaf or whatever it was they had. It was a big deal. Oh, well, we have an electric car. That wasn't their only car. Of course, they would travel around the world and they'd go out in their little electric car. They got like 40 miles before they had to recharge it. It wasn't a Tesla. I remember this one of my friends out there was, they were always talking about their little electric car, what they were doing for the environment. And they would jet all over the world, going to vacations. Because they were, you know, carbon offsetting, whatever that means. It's laughable. Now, if you own a Tesla, the leftists don't like that because now Elon Musk is going to let Trump back onto Twitter and let him say whatever he wants. Oh, the horror. You see, these people, if they were left in charge, and they are, the leftist radicals, if the very people who were in charge of our country, which they practically are, if they ran the country the way they run their businesses with this wokeism, with this phony righteousness that they have, this morality, they like to signal with their virtue signaling. If they were in charge, they would censor you. And they would, because it's labeled misinformation. We have to stop this misinformation. Well, I'm sorry, but you have the right to share misinformation. That's just the way it is.
Well, you don't have the right to yell fire in a crowded theater.
Yes, you do. There are consequences to it. You can say it. If you cause a problem and a commotion, Or if there really is a fire, yes, absolutely, you can do that. Now, the question, real question is, can you yell theater in a crowded firehouse? I don't know anybody that's talking about that. But on this program, we do, because it's ridiculous. That's why I talk about it. Hold on a second. There's another sponsor kicking in here. So to finish this thought, I don't even know what the thought was. Went off on some weird tangent. See, I told you I didn't have anything to say, and here I am talking, and it's, what is this, like an hour later? How long have I been talking? Let's look at this thing. 21 minutes. I'm not even sure what I'm going to call this show because I don't even know what I've said. I have to go back and listen to it again in order to title it. That's how I function. So the midterms, I believe that the Democrats understand and realize at this point, I think that they know they're going to lose this thing. Now, I heard that there were some early voting things coming in, and I guess I didn't get to read the article, but it was shocking, I guess, the results from the early voting. And I think early voting has typically always been a leftist thing. And the people on the Democrats, not the Democrats, the Democrats have a tendency to do better in early voting. I wonder why. And I guess the way I understand this, what the article, at least the headline in the first like part of it was implying was that that's not what they were seeing. They were seeing a lot of votes coming in for Republicans. Most Republicans must be voting. I don't know who's voting. Probably maybe independents. Maybe I don't know. We'll see what happens here with this. Getting back to this whole Elon Musk thing, they're vilifying Elon now. Now this is the guy who took his satellites, his Skylink system, which I know very little about. I need to find out more about this whole Skylink thing. But he's taking these satellites and he basically provided for free to the Ukrainians. He provided internet service for them. Now he's being vilified because apparently they had some issues with the Skylink system on the front line of the battle. And they're concerned that maybe he's playing a part of this. And there's actually somebody screaming about, I guess, in the House, someplace in our government here, screaming at the administration saying that we need to be ready to take over Skylink as a country. Our country needs to take his stuff, basically. To nationalize it. So this is the way they think. This is how they operate. Somebody does something like that. Well, now we need to take that away from him. And I guess the Department of Justice now has launched an investigation against Elon Musk. Here we go. They're going to be raiding his house shortly. Going to find, you know, something in his underwear drawer. Who knows what? Here we go again. It's gotten to the point where it is absolutely, I mean, if depending on where you put your faith, this could be horrifying, but it's unnerving to me that they're so blatantly getting away with all this stuff. And there's only a few really voices out there that are really, you know, their ability right now, I've said for a long time, they have the noose around the neck and they're just slowly tightening it. Look at this nice necklace I'm providing for you. Oh, look at this. Oh, this looks very nice on you. Let's just tighten this up a little bit. Oh, look at how nice that is. Looks beautiful on you. Well, if you don't like it, you just need to get used to it. It's the new normal. We're just doing this for your own good. Because we know what's best for you. Sure you do. You don't even know me. A little sponsor there. So we had we have all this stuff going on. They're going nuts with this. And I think the American people, are waking up to it at this point. But there are a lot of people out there who just don't care. They just listen to the 30-second sound bites or the 15-second sound bites on the evening news or the little things that, you know, the media lets you hear at the top of the hour or the bottom of the hour on the radio, whatever it is. That's the only news they get. They never really dive into anything beyond that and see what's actually happening. Now, I've said for many years, and I'm writing this book, which I am actually getting back to doing the discipline of writing this thing. It's called The Conspiracy. I probably won't get it written and finished until, you know, before the rapture. But I'll leave it behind for those of you who don't make it to read. Or in case I get left behind, I'll be able to read it for you, read it to you. But it reminds me of a joke I told once, and it was kind of a... Anyway, I'm going to keep from going down that bunny trail. I'm writing this book, and it's called Conspiracy. The gist of the book is it talks about all the things that are happening around the world and how it looks like someone is controlling. This is where the conspiracy theorists get kind of a little bit off kilter with this stuff because they think that, well, it's the Bilderbergs, it's the Rothschilds, it's these big powerful families behind the scenes that are running all this stuff. They try to blame a particular group. Now, Alex Jones was known for this. He would say, well, it's these people, it's this cabal, it's this. And there's kind of this group of individuals who, you know, a few centralized individuals at the top who try to push their agenda. George Soros, you know, Klaus Mueller, all those people. And there is some of that happening. People who like power and they kind of gloat with this ability to control nations and people and groups and build societies the way they want to see them built, the way they think they should be. It's a psychopath, in my opinion, sociopath, whatever. However, you can't really pin anything on one person, like the massive food industry and what's happening there. Education, the banking system, it's a big one. Transportation, entertainment, all these different categories, and it seems like they're all kind of moving in the same direction. They must be talking to each other. Well, not necessarily. We are seeing evidence of a conspiracy. We are seeing evidence of an influential ideology. But what we don't, it's in what I call is, it, I say it's the evidence of things unseen. It is the forces of spiritual darkness working behind the scenes, influencing people with greed, lust for power, all these things that are motivating their hearts, leading them in the same direction. We're seeing the evidence of the spiritual influence. We can't see the spiritual influence itself, much like you can't see the wind, but you can see its effect on trees. We'll be dealing with that later today as I take the sails off my boat. So, that's the gist of what the book is about. Now, I've got two different angles I want to play with this. One is just a documentary style book. The other one is a actual character. It's like more like a fiction book with a fictional character, kind of like in the kind of like the National Treasure that had what's his name in it. What's this guy's name? Or you know, he's finding all these clues and going on trying to find this, you know. Kind of like that kind of a style of book, basically, or a movie, if you want to make a movie out of it. So in case anybody's out there wants to make a movie, any big movie people, let me know. We'll get in touch. Just have your people call my people. And once you find my people, tell them to report to me because I don't know who they are. I have no idea. Let them know that I've been looking for them for a long time. I have no people that I know of, but I just If there are people out there that are my people, send them over to me, or just have them call me. Just have them text me. In fact, or an email. I don't really want to talk to them face to face. I don't want them showing up at my house. I don't know who they are. That's kind of the gist of what's happening here with what we see. And the ideology, the leftist radicalness, radicalization of some of these people, obviously their policies don't work. They want to push society into a particular direction. And that is what's unnerving. If you allow people to have their freedoms and their liberties, that takes away from their power and their ability to manipulate, keeping them at the top. So we'll see how this all works out here in the next couple of weeks, because it's not next week, but it's the week after, I guess, is the election. So 2 weeks, I guess, we're away from the election, right? Something almost a little over 2 weeks, maybe. I just something like that. I don't know. I don't care. I don't know. I think I will be home for the election, which means I'll be able to vote. Otherwise, I have to get those absentee ballots things, which I don't trust at all. But we'll see what happens here. Indiana's pretty good with their voting laws. Fairly secure here, I think, in Indiana. But there's many other states, of course, that aren't. And anything that they try to do to try to secure the elections, of course, that's racist. I think Tucker was right last night. Basically, people don't care about that anymore. Go ahead, call me. Everything's racist, so nothing's racist, and so there's some politicians that are finally starting to wake up with that. They're like, you're going to start calling me names. Let's talk about policy. Let's talk about what you do. Call me names all you want to. It's just disgusting. But that's go ahead. We don't care anymore. I'm kind of that way. The older I get, the more I'm that way. Anyway, I just whatever. Call me names, whatever you want to do. I don't care. I'm kind of that way at work right now. The place that I do a lot of work for. And I've kind of let them know this, in fact, and it's kind of, it's a little awkward at times because I've told them, if you don't like me being here, if you've got a problem with what I do, and I'm perfectly happy to do things the way you want them done. That's not the issue. The problem is if you want to yell at me and chew me out and call me names for trying to do a good job, trying to do the job the way you want me to, if you want to, get derogatory and treat me like and be unprofessional about it, well then, there's a rental car company here. I can just rent a car and go home, or I can jump on a flight and go home, or whatever you want to do, but I'll be gladly home and be done. That's because I'm not here because I need it. I'm here because I want to be here and help. I want to be helpful. If I'm not being helpful, then I'll go home. And go on your merry way. If I'm the problem, then get rid of the problem. In fact, you don't even have to. I'll get rid of it for you. You don't even fire me about it. I'll be gone in a heartbeat. You'll see nothing but elbows and heels walking out the door. No problem with that. I'll miss it. I'm there because I like the people. I like the people I work with. I want to be there. But there are those few individuals out there that kind of make it more difficult. And if that's a problem, it's one of those things where, it's that stage in life where I'm at right now. Now, if I was in my 20s or 30s or even my 40s, I'd be more intimidated. But there's no intimidation anymore from that kind of thing. So I kind of get, you have to develop that thick skin, I guess. When you get older, you get thicker skin. Rawhide. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, I think it's. Anyway, I have talked enough. Here I am talking. I talked a lot longer than I had planned, actually. I thought a lot longer than I thought I would. Because when I first started, I didn't have anything to say. I still don't know if I've said anything. But you've listened. If you've listened this far, then you've listened to the whole thing. And I commend you for that. Because that's a big accomplishment. You should put that on your resume. I listened to an entire episode of The News According to Me. And my life is forever changed. There you go. You can put that on your resume. I'll sign off on it. I'll give you. I'll even give you a letter of recommendation. And sure that'll get you far in life. The show tomorrow will be a little bit more normal, because tomorrow morning, hopefully, will be a normal morning. Hopefully, if I don't get injured today by doing what I'm doing today. So we'll see how that works out. God bless everybody. Pray for our nation. Pray for these elections. Take care. Thanks for listening.